I have never seen a more gratuitous display of political cowardice than the entire Democratic Party over the past year, with one singular exception, which would be Congresswoman Barbara Lee. So I decided I was going to do something different. So I just said, hey, you know what? I don't like staying up all night anyway. I don't mind if I lose this job. Let me go ahead and just tell some jokes that no one else is going. Let me say some things no one else is going to say. And, you know, so I got canceled out of, not canceled, I got temporarily removed out of the New York Daily News. It's okay. And that was a big story, and because it happened at a time where the nation was dealing with these issues of, you know, limits to free speech, and is the administration clamping down too hard, and Bill Maher was going about to lose his show, and you know, the country was changing, and where was free speech going to fit into all this? But again, you know, my focus has sort of stayed on the media. What happened to reporters who actually wanted to find out the truth? And where did we get all of these kind of silly-looking cheerleaders for the administration? And, you know, it's a couple things. You know, one, you know, over the years, more and more people are turning into fewer and fewer sources of information. And those sources of information are being consolidated and they're being owned by fewer and fewer people. So you've got 6, 7, 8 guys who control 90% of what the industrialized world sees and hears and reads, or particularly America. And then I think, you know, on just a more basic level, there's a lot of pressure and incentives for, you know, reporters who deal with the president and the administration to behave. And this was, you know, I had this described to me by some guys who were interviewing me for a show that will remain nameless. But off camera, we were having a discussion as to, well, why did the media really roll over like they did? And what is it? Why doesn't anyone want to be the guy that stands up and says, no, I found out that there were remote controls in the planes. Like, no, here's the pipeline that's supposed to run through Afghanistan. Here's why it's all happening, and the government's lying to you. Where's that guy? And, you know, an experienced journalist pulled me aside and said, you know, if you do that now, you get cut off. You know, everything is about access to the important people. Everything is about getting the leaks from the White House and being in that inner circle. And if you step out of line, you get removed from that circle. And somebody else is just waiting to take your place. So there's the media consolidation, and there's this sort of, you know, this pressure for journalists to not cross the line. But I think also everybody was just really damn scared. Like, scared in a way Americans had never been before. And fear will make you do some crazy things. And journalists were scared. Everybody was scared. And more importantly, they knew you were scared. So as long as you were scared, you'd be tuning in to them so they could tell you what to be afraid of. And it's been going like that for a year. I mean, now it's just sort of become this gratuitous exploitation of sad people. Like, oh, look at her. She lost a husband. Let's get her on the air to tell her whole story. And then let's get 8 or 9 or 10 widows just like her. Until you just, it's just like an orgy of just depression and sadness and death. But what's the point? This isn't news. The fear of the unknown is what has driven America crazy. So crazy that it will throw its support behind a functionally illiterate president. But let's get one thing straight. Americans are not patriotic. Americans don't really care about freedom. They don't really care about liberty. They don't care about any of that. That's now the shield that we wrap ourselves in to protect us from the evils of the world that we don't know anything about. Because, you know, if Americans really cared about any of that stuff, they wouldn't have been holding signs that said, "Sore loser," the year before, when America was really attacked, and somebody took over the whole country who was never elected president. You know, people die, and I don't want to trivialize the deaths because it's serious, but in countries there are catastrophes. People die. People come together and they move on. But when there are coups, when there are just, you know, presidents in exile, that completely and totally and permanently changes the course of a country's future. The attack on America happened during the election, and nobody cared. The reason why Bush is in office is because the guy who really didn't care about freedom and liberty and democracy was Al Gore. Because Al Gore would rather be a loser than actually stand up for the thousands of black people who were disenfranchised in Florida. You know, the White House is at stake. You won. And you're going to sit this one out? No, that's okay. I'll try again next time. What? So, you know, I'm in this position, and there's a handful of us who are like, no, let's peel back the layers. Let's actually figure out what's going on. And, you know, when I say peeling back the layers, I'm not really talking about the conspiracy theories. I like conspiracy theories. I really do. I find them great reading. They're very interesting. And since I already am inclined to have a disdain towards the people in power, I'm inclined to believe them. And there are a lot of really interesting theories about what happened with September 11th. The problem with conspiracy theories is you can't prove them. And at a certain point, you're just not going anywhere with them. And you can come out and say, Flight 93 was shot down. And you can say, you know, everyone in the Bush administration is affiliated with oil, and, you know, these are the last big oil reserves on the planet, and they needed to get the Taliban out of the way so they could run these pipelines to Afghanistan. And you could talk about remote-controlled airplanes and government collusion akin to, you know, Pearl Harbor. But the wonderful thing about the Bush administration is you don't have to dig anything up. You don't really have to snoop around and find that damning piece of evidence that's going to prove they're all criminals. No, they're all criminals. They know it, you know it. They don't really care that you know it. You could actually put each of them in jail based off what they print in the New York Times. Well, now, you know, this isn't some crazy underground internet rumor. These things happen. They stole an election in front of broad daylight. Nobody did anything. Once you send that message, they know they can do whatever they want. Halliburton. Yeah, so? You think Dick Cheney's worried about you? Dick Cheney's like, yeah, I'm a crook. So what? What you gonna do? Nothing. I was just on Donahue and I said, they're gangster for real. For real. they're on some Suge Knight level of gangster. They will come and they will look at you, they will punk you, and you will like it. And you do. And you go, yes, I love the president. Yeah. You like it. They come and they say, you know what? I ain't handing over no papers to nobody. What I did at Halliburton, that's none of your business. But you're trying to make that same stuff illegal. So, what is their problem? And everybody goes, well, there's a problem. And they're like, yeah, I thought that wasn't going to be no problem. I mean, they're really on some just thug stuff. You know, I mean, Bush, did you ever use cocaine? It's none of your business. It's against the law. You're running for president. And he looked at the American people and said, mind your business. And you know what? Everyone said, you know, maybe I should mind my business. Yeah, it's, you know, that's how they carry it. That's how the powerful are supposed to carry it. They're not supposed to be evil. But, you know, that crew is powerful. Condoleezza Rice. I met Condoleezza Rice. It's like meeting Darth Vader. It's nothing. It's nothing funny about it. Cause I'm thinking, I'm gonna tell Condoleezza Rice what I think about when I see her. And I met Condoleezza, and suddenly I'm like, oh no, she can kill me and my whole family with a phone call. I'm not messing with her. That's how they roll. You know, like, what was she on the board of directors at Mobile or something like that? It's like, yo, you know all those stories about those corporations that go over to Nigeria and kill people over? Yeah, that's her. That would be Condoleezza Rice. This is what I like to say to put the current administration into some perspective. Colin Powell, as a general, over the years, probably directly had a hand in, let's say, at least 100,000 human deaths. That's like on the conservative side. Now, I don't know exactly how many people died in the Gulf War. I've heard as many as 500,000. But let's just say he's directly killed, not by hand, but he's been the guy that says, okay, those people over there, that whole ethnic group, they got to go. Kill them. And then they just disappear. That's him. Hundreds of thousands, potentially, of deaths that he's directly involved in. And he's the nice guy in the administration. Now think about that. Colin Powell is the guy that goes, hey, you guys are going too far. He's like, slow down. I kill people for a career, and I don't even want to kill people like y'all want to kill people. And, you know, at least to his credit, that was his job. You're supposed to do your job well. If your job is to kill people well. That was his job. He did it well. I don't know how killing people became part of being the governor of Texas. But, you know, that's the rest of the crew, they just kill people for fun. And why do they get away with it? Well, because the entire United States population has been punked. And the first people to get punked were the Democrats. Because they're so scared, all that political power is right in their grasp, and they literally won't go after it. Now, Bill Clinton had sex, and there was an impeachment hearing. These guys have broken every law under the sun, and nobody on the left will say anything. Whose fault is that? Well, it's kind of yours. It was yours until the vote stopped counting. You used to be able to vote, but now you can't even do that. So now it ain't really your fault anymore. America has let its government be hijacked. And now we're left to sort of stand around and say, okay, how do we get it back? Which would be an incredibly difficult proposition, even if there wasn't the backdrop of never-ending conflict, which is what we're now in. Perpetual war, a war that doesn't end. It's going to be a different kind of war. Yeah, it's going to be the war that kind of like ruins the planet. It's going to be the kind of war that, you know, you can do whatever you want, and under the guise of national security, you will never tell us anything. You know, my idea of a war was you go to Germany, you kill the Germans, it's over. You do reparations, you make up, life goes on. How are you going to have a war against a guy? A terrorist is a guy. It's a dude. How are you going to have a war against a specific kind of dude? How are you going to kill every terrorist? I could decide tomorrow to be a terrorist. It's like, there will always be terrorism. So there will always be a war on terrorism. This country is screwed. It's never ending. It's never going to end. And what are you guys going to, what are you going to do? Now they can put you in jail. Well, you ain't getting a lawyer. What? They will hold you for as long as we want. How do you reclaim your government in the face of such overwhelming oppression? But that's what this is. You're going to go invade Iraq? Iraq has been quietly plotting and scheming to build weapons of mass destruction for the last 10 years. Yeah, there's another way to look at that. It's called, they've been minding their own business. Iraq's just been sitting there. Every time I hear about something blowing up in Iraq, it's because we bombed it. What's Iraq done to you lately? And you know what the reality is? You have no say in what happens in Iraq. I mean, people will talk about it. There'll be a debate. But at the end of the day, whatever the Bush administration wants to do, they're going to do. So you can't choose your president. You have no say in foreign policy. Your leaders commit crimes. You can't bring them to justice. What's left for you to do? Well, you either come to the sad realization that you no longer live in a democracy, and you go back to the Declaration of Independence, and you realize that at that point you have an obligation as an American to overthrow that illegal government, which is tough because then you'll end up dead or in jail, which is not cool. So you can either do that, or you could turn on the news and listen to Bill O'Reilly tell you everything is okay. Or what's the guy's name on Hardball? Yeah, or that redneck, Imus in the Morning. Yeah, you can listen to these guys, Dennis Miller. And they'll tell you everything is fine. And Brian Williams will tell you everything's fine, and Peter James will tell you everything's fine. And, you know, you go, yeah, everything really is okay. It really is the rest of the world that has a problem. It's not us. Now, I know you all know better, because you guys are here. So I know I'm just preaching to the converted. But it does leave us with a sort of profound dilemma that, you know, many, many other people have articulated better than I have tonight, but you know, it just goes back to the same thing, which is, what exactly are we as Americans going to do to reclaim our government? And what are the consequences of inaction? And sadly enough, I really don't have the answers. The one thing I do know is that truth is now available in such small quantities that it's actually profitable. I mean, this has been my experience. I mean, I talked about I criticized the government. My world didn't end. They didn't kill me. They didn't throw me in jail. I got on Nightline. I got an image award. I got book deals. I mean, there's a fear of speaking out. There's a fear, and that fear has been present in this country, really, since the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and the COINTELPRO program, the Black Panthers. That set a tone and sent a message to the country that institutionalized change will not be tolerated in any form. And everyone just got scared and quiet. But you have to ask yourself, okay, there's no action without organization. There's no organization without a common ideology. And there's no ideology without education and information and truth. So, why are you so afraid to speak up? Because so many people want to know what's going on. I mean, look, Stupid White Men, Michael Moore's book, has been on, like, number one on the New York Times bestsellers for a long time. He sold a lot of copies. People want to know. They want to find some dependable way, which, i.e., not the internet, to get an alternative source of information. They don't know exactly how. And again, it's not the wild conspiracy theories. They just want to know what's going on. It's rare that anybody nowadays will tell you the truth. So the truth becomes profitable. Michael Moore makes a lot of money. I don't know how Ralph Nader does.